August blooms and quorum
Methodist queen works on occasion.
Well, let's cut the bull.
Everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 26 for July 15th, 2012. I'm Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Bolova.
And April and Elena are unable to make it this week. It's funny because it's summer, so you'd think we'd all be able to be on more episodes, but everyone's all busy, so...
Yeah, going to amusement parks and hanging out on beaches and doing fun stuff while we're in our basements recording podcasts.
Exactly.
Just for you.
But this is fun stuff also, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. We have some good casting news. Finally, Lionsgate. I mean, every news story for like the past 2 weeks has been speculation, in talks of. This actor says they would be happy to play this part. I'm like, I don't care who is cast at this point. Like, you know, it was fun to speculate for a while. But just a few announcements. Number one, our first year anniversary passed on July 8th. A round of applause. Ooh.
Happy birthday to Woz.
Yeah, so one...
And it's ironic, because we started out this show with just us two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The first episode, me and you. And then... Good times.
Good times.
But yes, thank you all for a great year, for listening to us for 25 episodes, supporting us. We appreciate it. Without the fans, we would be long dead.
We'd be talking to empty air.
Yes. 1 year, thank you very much.
And cheers to another year. A year after that, as long as these movies keep going.
Another 10 years, how about that? How's that?
Yeah,
because
you know they'll reboot the franchise after the last one's done.
Right, you know, like they'll wait a year and they'll reboot it and then we'll have more episodes.
Never ending cycle.
Anyway, also do you have a birthday shout out for Julia? Happy birthday, Julia. Alex, you wanna sing a little song?
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. I probably should come up with something a bit more original than this, but happy birthday to you.
Yay, so happy birthday, Julia. And now we're going to get a lot of birthday shout-out requests.
Yes. Alex, we want to hear you sing. Or no, Hurley, we want to hear you sing.
No more, I've retired.
Whatever.
Okay, so let's move on to casting news. Actually, this is just news, but mostly casting news. So news segment, the first news story is that Jenna Malone has been cast as Johanna Mason.
Yeah, I mean, I know her from Donnie Darko, which, if you guys don't know, I am
obsessed kind of with.
Fell asleep watching or whatever.
Oh,
and this podcast.
Oh yes. Oh,
but right. I really did enjoy Donnie Darko, and I joined her performance in it. I mean, she was a strong-willed female. Well, spoiler, she ended up dying in the end.
Oh my god, what are you doing? Why would you... Who is she? Is she just a regular person? Is she a villain or what?
I mean, she was the main character's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm not... She was in Sucker Punch, so I guess she could do action. But,
yeah,
I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
She's a good actress.
Yeah, she's in Sucker Punch, so that's, you know, the action thing. And also, interestingly enough, she was in The Messenger, which I don't remember... She was Kelly in that, but I don't remember her part. But the point is, Woody Harrelson was in that.
Ooh, connections.
Connections, yes. So, she's worked with Woody Harrelson, so that's, you know, interesting. And she was in Into the Wild, Pride and Prejudice, so she has a good acting career. And she's also kind of an unknown, you know, so I like that.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a pretty big role for her.
Well, it is. It's Johanna Mason.
Yeah. So, speaking of casting, we now have our Plutarch Heavensby. So, officially, Philip Seymour Hoffman has been cast.
This is insane, okay? This is the biggest name to enter the franchise.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Wouldn't you agree? Because it's Philip Seymour Hoffman as Plutarch Heavensby. I was about to... Oh my gosh. No, okay.
He is a bit too big for this, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm kind of nerding out.
And at the same time, he is perfect for this role.
He's perfect. Okay, I know on the Night Rebels, some people had some doubts with him, but first of all, his acting skill is just amazing. That you don't even care if he doesn't completely fit. I think he fits the look, But for anybody who has doubts, his acting will completely erase any of those. He has been in so many movies, it's insane, and he's won Oscars. He's been in the... Okay, let's just go through with some notable ones. Boogie Nights, The Big Lebowski, Magnolia.
Was he in Doubt?
Let's see. Punch Drunk, yes. Cold Mountain with Jenna Malone, actually.
Wow, the weird connections.
I know, Punch Drunk Love, Capote, which he won... Or Capote, he played Truman Capote. Capote, I don't know, I feel dumb saying either one. Anyway, he won Academy Award for Best Actor. He won the Oscar, big one. I'll just keep going. Mission Impossible 3, Charlie Wilson's War, Doubt, that's a big one. Invention of Lying, Moneyball, that was a great movie. Ides of March, and yeah, he's going to be in The Master this year, which is highly anticipated. Point is, he's a huge actor, and I'm so excited.
Yep, even if it is, you know... Not the lead role. He is going to be awesome in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like a huge part. I'm surprised he took it. Let's just say.
Well, you know, like half of the adult actors in these films had like children or grandchildren. Like, oh my gosh, I love The Hunger Games, Dad. You have to do it.
Yeah.
So if that's the reason he's here, well, then we're so thankful for his children or his grandchildren, or whatever.
Yep. Whoever convinced him to do it. Yeah, but. We are excited, and email in and tell us what you think. So, the last news story is a very sad one. Lionsgate, well, for me at least. Lionsgate has set release dates for Mockingjay Parts 1 and 2.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Okay, well, let's just read through the story as best we can. The Hunger Games studio Lionsgate has said the release dates. Part 1 will be released November 21st, 2014. Part 2 will be out on November 20th, 2015. Okay, so we've talked about this before, and I've kind of not really gone off the rails on it because it wasn't confirmed. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, there might be 2 Mockingjay films. It's like, okay, hopefully that's never going to happen. And now it is. They've confirmed release dates, so they have to. They have to stick to that the best they can. So let's just get it all out now. I think it's a horrible idea. Mockingjay, to me, it was a good book, but honestly, let's be honest here, it was the most boring
by
book
by far.
Just because there weren't any actual games in it, and for that reason, there's just not enough meat in there to split into 2 movies. I mean, there was barely enough for 1 book, I think, and. And, like, people are saying, well, they should have split Catching Fire. And it's like, not really, because there's no good place to split. I mean, they couldn't do pre-games and then the games, because that's just... Pre-games is boring. The books are divided up well, and they just make sense. Like, they take place over, like, you know, 3 years or whatever. It just makes sense. And to split it up is just a blatant money grab that's not doing anything for the fans or the story or anything. So... That's my take on it. Alex,
I agree.
Think?
I mean, what I always compare this to is Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows. Now, while I really enjoyed both movies, it did feel like the whole story was hindered it being 2 different movies. Put them together and you get an awesome movie with a lot of build-up and a lot of payoff. But when you just have 1 movie that... like, the first part is obviously just going to be talking. Like, it's going to be all exposition. It's going to be like, oh, here's District 13, we're exploring that, and we're looking at the war off in the distance, and maybe there'll be some climactic event at the end. But that's right, there is not a lot of action in the book as a whole. All the action is more or less in, like, the last quarter of the book, which means that we're going to have an...
Exactly, yes.
I'm sorry, we're going to have a very exceedingly boring first part. And I'm actually kind of dreading sitting through the movie. Unless Suzanne Collins is like, okay, well, we can add in an action scene here. We can sort of switch up the plot a bit. Like, if they actually actively try to make it different and add more substance to it, then maybe I'll be a bit more excited. But unless they actually do add more plots and a reason for it being split, yeah, this is just a money grab. And as much fun as it will be to podcast for another year because of this, it's not a good reason.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, okay. So, one thing, first of all, Harry Potter, right? the first half at least had all this mystery of like trying to find all the clues and stuff, and you know, like hunting the Horcruxes down. It had like its own feel to it, and then there's the final battle. For this one, the first part is like, all right, let's find PETA, let's do this. It's bad idea. I mean, I get what you said about Suzanne Collins, and now that they've committed to the two parts, I hope they do inject, you know, plot points in, or, you know, this and that to make it, you know, somewhat spicy. But, like, why bother? Why even split in the first place if you're just going to messily include random other things that Suzanne Collins has to write?
All right, well, I think we've beaten that subject to death.
Yes, we have. Yeah, email in on your thoughts. I want to know who wants the split. That's what I want to know. And why? If anybody out there, we want to hear from
maybe
you.
Maybe you can change our minds. Maybe we'll think this is the best thing since sliced bread. Yep.
I doubt it, but you can try. Okay, so that does it for the news this week.
And speaking of emailing us...
Oh, excellent segue, Alex. Speaking of emailing us, we're going to move into emails and comments this week. Be sure to email us at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. Alex, why don't you read the first email from Emily?
Sure. So, Emily says, "Hey Rebels, what's up? I've been thinking a lot about the new Catching Fire movie, and I'm rereading the book in prep. I've come across the part where she goes to TV and sees the uprising. Madge leaves her up there. How are they going to do that? I don't remember if the guys talked about this, but I just wanted to bring it up. Do you think the new director will add Madge? I might get a little mad if they do, because Madge should have given her the pin. Eh. Sorry, it angers me. Also, in Night Rebels 3, you guys talked about the actors. The kid from Disney, I was completely disregarding the fact, but when I think more, it makes sense. Sorry to disagree with you guys, but I do not at all want Army to be Finnick. I don't think he has the look. That's just me. None of the Johanna or Annie actors I care about as much. Just Finnick. Keep fighting. Emily."
About Madge. Let's just like stick our opinions right now. Will Madge be added in the second movie?
Well, I could see how it could be added, because in the first movie you didn't get any like talks about school or friends really.
Yeah.
And so if they actually did sort of have like a flashback, like she gets off the train and she gets hugged, like, "Oh, I was your friend in school," or whatever, it would be awkward. It would be clumsy. It wouldn't make as much sense, but it could be done, and it would make it a lot more sense. But she still doesn't have a point.
Yeah.
I mean, without giving her the pin, then really the only reason she's there is to lead her up to a television room, which frankly could be done by anybody else or just her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to see a similar thing like this happen next year with the Sea of Monsters movie.
Yes. Interesting point. Clarice being added.
And Clarice.
Yeah. But that's a whole other beast. I personally hope they... that's tough, because Madge does come in. She does have a sort of, you know, this role of getting her into the mayor's house. I could see it. I'm just going to say they are going to add her in. I don't think they need to, per se, but I think they will. So don't worry, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
But about casting, Armie Hammer not having the look. That's just another opinion, so, you know.
And I actually kind of agree with you.
What? I never knew this, Alex.
Do you not remember? I wasn't very big on Armie Hammer.
Were you not?
No.
I just assumed since you liked The Social Network that you...
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, none of the actors really appealed to me that much. I mean, I have a very distinct look in my head, and I could see Armie as it. It's just not my top pick. I mean, I'd be happier with an unknown.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, everybody's happier with an unknown.
Everyone is so much happier with an unknown, because there's no... There's very little baggage, as we talked about on the Night Rebels.
Right.
Anyway, let's move on to the next email from Obsessive Bookworm, and she says, "Hello, fellow Hunger Gamians." That's a new one. "'Tis me again, Obsessive Bookworm. Just going to say a couple things. Hurley, I emailed you about this already. I'm Australian and asked you not to do the accent, and you did the accent. I'm going to cry now." Oh, wow.
Shame on you, Hurley. Shame.
I'm so sorry.
How dare you insult our Australian listeners.
I warned them. And I'm going to do it again right now.
Oh,
I emailed you about this already, mate. Okay, I'm done. That's it. And then she also talks about Hrock, Fan Hrock, so that's going to be saved later. So you guys will hear about that. And then she also says, "Hurley should sing again every episode. I will now stop my ramble and go and read." by Obsessive Bookworm.
I agree with you. Hurley should sing.
Okay. Well, you know.
And in an Australian accent.
Oh, interesting. That's intriguing.
Yeah.
The accent lured me to that idea, so I'll think about it. Alex, why don't you read the final... oh, the final amazing email.
Yes. So, Adele says, "Hey, Rebels. As having listened to every single episode of the podcast, I'm aware that there is a fan challenge that has not been completed." Well, challenge completed. And so then Adele added in her version of Somebody That I Used to Know called An A-Box That You Used to Know, which is, frankly, one of the most awesome things I've ever heard.
Okay, this, oh, it's so awesome. Okay, so let's just, you know, backtrack. Alex... Okay, what was it? We had an episode where, like, an Avox, we made up, like, the little song, You Didn't Have to Cut My Tongue. And then Alex made a fan challenge that was so ridiculous. He was like, make us, like, a parody Hunger Games version of Somebody That I Used to Know. And I'm like, nobody's gonna do that. You know, it's really difficult. Adele sent us this amazing, awesome, hilarious song that we are gonna play in full at the end of the episode. So... yeah, it's awesome.
So thank you, Adele.
Thank you very much.
And for everybody who actually listens to my random, just, you know, challenges, you guys are awesome.
I know. Alex has the most random challenges, and people do them. I don't get it, guys. But thank you. You're very dedicated. So, Adele. Oh, it's by Adele, too. It's by somebody named Adele. So they're, you know, up-and-coming artist, musical artist. Okay, bad connection. Anyway, let's move on to Fan Rock. Fan Rock is the segment where you guys, the fans, can submit your own tunes to be sampled on our show that are related to the Hunger Games. So this week's Fan Rock comes from listener Obsessive Bookworm, as you heard from the email. She chose the song Everyone's Waiting by Missy Higgins. And when to explain why it fits, she says, "I think it fits into the third book, where Katniss is expected to do all these propaganda films, but doesn't really want to. And the lyric, 'It's not for you, it's for them,' is kind of saying that she has to do this to help the rebellion. And the lyric, 'All of the painful lessons you had to learn, you're going to use them now,' is when they had to talk about their experiences from the games and what the Capitol did to them. Anyway, I like it. So thank you, Obsessive Bookworm. Enjoy a sample of Everyone's Waiting by Missy Higgins." And all of those painful lessons you've had to learn, you're gonna use them now or never. 's and if you would like to submit your own fan rock, be sure to do so. Send us a YouTube link and why the song fits with the Hunger Games. And now we are going to move into chapter chat Catching Fire. This is the segment where we analyze and dig through two chapters of the Hunger Games series. So this week we have chapters 11 and 12. Spoiler alert for all three books, you have been warned. Alex, take it away with chapter 11.
Okay, so chapter 11 begins, and Katniss finds it's hard not to freak out as she pulls away from the fence. She feels targeted and needs a strategy. Maybe she's being watched. This has happened before, but she never felt so urgent about
it. Wait. Just to recap, she just met Billy... God, I can't... What are the names? Twill and Bonnie, yes, okay.
Yeah.
She just met them, and the electric fence just turned on as she... ran away from them back to the district.
Anyways, so Katniss can't be caught outside the fence and needs a plan. She can't crawl underneath it, so she'll have to get high enough to jump over it. She climbs a huge tree and jumps to the other side. She can tell she has hurt her foot, but she's not sure how bad it is. When she gets home, two peacekeepers are there.
Uh-oh.
Bum bum bum. Katniss has to think fast to come up with a reason why she hasn't been home. She can tell they know what really happened. But Katniss lies that she was following some bad directions that Prim gave her.
Oh, Prim.
And Prim backs her off. like a true older sister. Blame your younger
bad
one.
Bad directions that Prim gave her? That's the weakest excuse. Like, they know District 12 in and out. What? Like, that's the excuse she comes up with? Anyway.
Yeah, Katniss isn't very quick on her feet. But PETA and Hey Much help, and the story seems to be somewhat persuasive somehow.
Okay.
So the peacekeepers inform her that the fence is going to be constantly on from now on, and then they leave. So PETA pushes Cass to explain her injury, but she can't say too much. Her family and PETA take care of her. The next day, Cass is too worn out to do much. She just reviews the situation in her head. She thinks about Bonnie and Twill and Snow. So PETA visits her over the next week, and the two of them work on a special book about herbs and their properties. Cass is recording her knowledge about the local wild plant life, and PETA is illustrating it. A match made in heaven. So she leans... she learns more about him, and they both feel relaxed. Cass also pays attention to TV programs to see if she can spot what Bonnie and Twill told her about. She realizes that there's something fishy about the footage of District 13. Maybe Bonnie and Twill are right.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay, couple things. First of all, PETA asks about Candace's injury. The directions did it. Okay, I'm sorry. We're done with that. Anyway, so, the TV thing, this is cool. Because she's, first of all, I'm actually kind of confused at why nobody else noticed that the footage was fishy. Because it must be on a loop, right? And parts of it must be doctored. I mean, that's kind of the assumption we make, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, so I'm not sure if anybody else noticed that, but I guess if you did notice it, it's not like you're going to do anything about it.
Yeah. But I mean, why would the Capitol actually still have that? I mean, I know it's a small thing, but, you know, these are professional video editors. Somebody working in Hollywood, if they saw something that, you know, discontinued continuity with special effects, they could fix it. I presume, you know, some of that effects have lasted, however far in the future this goes.
Yeah, I mean, the game makers could easily make up some great special effects to have a convincing District 13 stuff, but I guess they just don't care. I mean, it's not like it's a... I mean, it wasn't a big deal before the rebellion because nobody was actually going to break out and find District 13. But now, mm-hmm. now the details are kind of leading them to the right direction.
Yeah.
So let's move right on to chapter 12. The problem of District 13 worries Katniss, but there's not... Okay, see, exactly. There's nothing she can do about it. So, you know, before this point, it's not like they're going to go, let's go find District 13 because the footage looks fake. But,
yeah. Off to adventure.
But now, as the rebellion kind of starts, it makes more sense. So months pass, and it's basically spring by the time Katniss's prep team arrives to help her get ready for the pre-wedding photo shoot. At one point, Octavia complains that seafood from District 4 isn't available. Octavia gives a lame reason for the seafood shortage, but Katniss sees right through it. She is convinced that this means there's troubles in District 4 and that the Capitol is hushing it up. Katniss attempts some delicate questioning. She thinks it's possible that the people in District 3 are also stirring up unrest against the Capitol. So, you know, it's spreading like wildfire. It's catching fire. If you guys weren't...
I see what you did.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, Suzanne Collins did it, but... Well, I'll take credit. Anyway, Cinna and Effie arrive to help out Katniss's makeup before her photo shoot. Katniss poses for hours, and then everybody leaves. She's left with her family feeling absolutely wrung out. And that night, she has terrible nightmares again. So that's, you know, the usual. The next day, she wants to decompress by talking with the trusted ally, but she's not sure who to turn to. She settles on Haymitch and fills him in as quickly as she can. He has news, too. Between the two of them, they think about half of Pan Am is ready for a rebellion. So, it's been a couple months, so that is a reasonable timeline, you know, like, for the whole rebellion to spread. But mm-hmm. this is also half the reason that the catching fire is a little bit lower in my eyes. I mean, not lower as in, like, lower quality, but I don't like it because the first, like, third, at least, is all this political just... waiting for the rebellion to kind of, you know, catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that should have been done, like, a little earlier. Like, I don't know, have Katniss, like, in, like, the second chapter explain how, as the months have been going by since the games have ended, then all the rebellion's been catching on. But when you actually have to, like, sit through it, and it's like, okay, move from this district, now move to that district... It just moves really slowly, you know, like the early part of Catching Fire, which would, it's also why splitting this book would not have worked either.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. I mean, some books I really like learning about political situations, And not to say that, you know, I'm a really violent guy, that I want to always read that. But this, like, in the Hunger Games, you know, as much as people say, oh, it takes too long to get into arena, stuff was happening and preparing and building up tension. This is more just, like, giving the facts, like, all right, we have to set this up and blah, 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 blah.
Yes, exactly.
There isn't too much, like, motivating them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the initiating incident that, like, gives them a, like, ticking clock or whatever hasn't come into play.
Exactly. They haven't even gotten to the Capitol yet. It's Chapter 12, people.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, at least the Hunger Games, we were learning about the world, so it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's see. So, Haymitch gloomily says that 12 couldn't rebel, otherwise they would end up like 13. He doesn't buy the possibility that 13 has secretly rebuilt itself. So, Haymitch doesn't buy the conspiracy theory, which is interesting. I don't know if it's in his character to believe that or not, but I think he's just kind of shut out any hope of anything. But it does make sense that if 12 does rebel, then they would just, you know, destroy them. Because they probably start off with the weaker districts.
Mm-hmm.
So later that day, they find out that they have to watch a special program on TV that night by government order. Prim says that it will be a wedding shoot. Katniss worries about what this will mean for Gale. Poor Gale. So there's a whole program about people getting a vote on which dress Katniss will wear for her wedding. I wonder which dress Gale will vote for. Poor Gale. This sucks for Gale.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it would have been all right if Katniss just said, Gale, I love you. This is all fake. But she's just like, yeah, Gale, I like you. But Peeta, I like you too. So, anyway. After the program, the announcer, Caesar Flickerman, explains that the Hunger Games will be the 75th. There's a special anniversary marked the Quarter Quell to reinforce the whole purpose of the games. Snow appears to explain what will happen at this quell. At the first quell, the districts had to select their own tributes through an election process. That's actually, like, a good idea, though. I mean, it's horrible, but it's a good, you know, tactic. Anyway, at the second quarter quell, twice as many tributes had to go. And it just makes you wonder, you know, like, how did that play out? Well, we know.
We'll see later in this book.
Spoiler alert, Haymitch won that one, but anyway. Snow has to open a little card to explain this quell, since the form of it supposedly a surprise to everyone. He reads out that in this third quell, the tributes will be people who have emerged victorious from previous games.
What? Katniss is going to have to go back in the games? I thought this whole book would just be politics.
Well, actually, this is kind of the initiating spark.
Yes. Now, just how it's complained that there was no ticking clock.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, this is the more... Yeah, this is the thing that sparks everything up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gives the second book something different. Because otherwise it'd just be the Hunger Games again. Anyway, right. Katniss's family catches on to this bad news more quickly than she does. Even though she just survived the Hunger Games, now she's going to be thrown into the arena all over again.
Okay, not to sound like a horrible person, but when I first read the book, I really was thinking, oh, thank God, something's happening.
Yes, Katniss going back.
This is when I actually started enjoying the book.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that one. But
although, here's the question. I know, like, next chapter, or maybe the chapter after that, they'll wonder whether or not, like, this was rigged to, you know, get rid of Katniss or anything. But what do you think, Hurley? Do you think this is just random happenstance, or do you think this was, you know, specifically done?
Well, don't we find out later? Well, I think this was all part of Plutarch's plan, right? To bust everyone out.
Well, I mean...
Well, actually, hold on.
They say that all these things have been decided, like, years and years and years in advance. But you think that's true? Do you think it's just happenstance, or do you think this really was just a plan?
I don't know, you know? I mean, it could easily have been conspirated, because, you know, they gotta destroy this rebellion somehow, so just take the two, like poster children and just, you know, put them back in the arena. That would be, you know, a good idea, but I do feel like this has been a plan for a while, to have previous tributes in on the plan to, like, bust out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to say. I don't think we'll ever know for real what this was for.
No.
But it is an intriguing premise. When I first read it, it took me a while to catch on, because I'm just like, previous tributes? What? And then when I figured that out, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
So we just sound like terrible people on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, horrible people.
Oh, yeah, death.
Yeah, but it's cool, right? I mean, they're going back in. And, well, for Katniss, it sucks because, like, she just got out.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, Katniss catches no breaks in this series.
Yeah. But it's always interesting because it's like, I always wonder, like, who would be going in, like, old people. Like, it's a lot more variety, so that's
cool. Mm-hmm.
So that does it for chapters 11 and 12 this week. If you have anything to say about these chapters, be sure to email us in comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. Or better yet, read chapters 13 or 14 for next week and email us in, and we will read something off next episode. We have our second to last segment now, In the Arena. This is the segment where we put two Hunger Games characters against each other and argue for who would win in a battle in the arena. So we don't actually have an In the Arena this week, but we do want to read off the results from two episodes ago. So two episodes ago, we battled Nightlog Podcast in our joint podcast. We fought for Finnick, and Nightlog fought for Joanna. So this was interesting because we've never done a cross-podcast battle segment, you know? So it was...
Yeah, usually we're just fighting among ourselves.
Yeah, it was just, you know, internal dissent, really. But now, we actually have another team to battle against. Anyway, obviously, we won. I'm kidding, that's too cocky.
Well, we still won.
We still won. We beat them 85 votes compared to 20 votes. And now, Alex, is this like a composite of both polls?
Yeah, this is composite.
Sweet! Well, we won. So, take that, Nightlock.
Yep. So, good game, Nightlock. I am shaking your hand politely from across the internet.
Me too. I am shaking their hand.
And I look forward to our next round.
I do enjoy our friendly rivalry with Nightlock.
Yeah. It's fun. Every podcast needs a rival.
Exactly. MuggleCast had PotterCast. We have Nightlock.
Yeah.
So
match made in heaven.
So check out Nightlock at nightlogpodcast.com. So that does it for the show, everybody. To close out the show, we have Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, where we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. This week, I am the Hrock person. I am just going to do an Avox That You Used to Know by Adele.
Not that Adele, guys.
Not that Adele, but a cooler Adele. An Adele that listened to Rebellion Radio. Hrock, enjoy a great pick. An Avox That You Used to Know by Adele. And we will play it in full at the end of the episode. It is awesome. It's hilarious. Please enjoy. So, Alex, why don't you read off the plugs?
Yep. So, be sure to visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and can stay uploaded through our Facebook and Twitter, both at /RRPodcast, and discuss with our listeners in the comments. Contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com.
Thank you all very much for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Bolivar.
Fight the capital and the hunger. Join the rebellion.
Now and then I think of when I could talk. Like when I said I hated you, I could have died. Told myself I wouldn't get caught. Peacekeepers in 12 don't respond. I'll admit I was sad that was over. You can get addicted to talking. The conversations I always said. So when I found that camera, well, you said I still could live. I thought I would just be a slave. But you didn't have to cut my tongue off. make it like it happened and that I was nothing. And I don't even need my tongue, but treat me like an AVOX and it feels so rough. No, you didn't have to snoop so low. Have snow collect the children and then make them kill. I guess that it's alright though, cause now I'm just an AVOX that you used to know. An AVOX that you used to know. An AVOX that you used to know.
And now we are going to move into chapter chat. Woo! I usually count on like on the girl of the show to go woo. Anyway.
Yeah, it's difficult to get wooers.
Yeah. Guys don't usually woo.
No, we... Yeah!
Yeah! Chapter chat. Anyway. Good day, mates. I had to fit it in there.
Of course.
If you tell me not to do the accent, I'm going to do the accent.
Well, yeah, it's reverse psychology, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't think of white elephants.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tempt me by telling me.